to you once again, family and friends. It's such a joy to speak to you again this morning. Thank you for joining us on this channel, and we trust that all of you are keeping well. We pray that you are staying safe even during this difficult period in our nation and in many other nations all over the world. As you know, even in South Africa, the spread of the coronavirus is increasing day by day, but we ask that you follow the regulations and stay safe. Keep your social distancing. Please wear your mask and sanitize your hands and wash your hands as often as possible so that you can limit the spread of the virus and also protect yourself from being infected. We have been on the series of Goshen. And before I get into the series this morning, we also want to thank God for all the fathers that are celebrating Father's Day. And we want to wish you well on behalf of our local church as well. Now, Genesis 47 is where our concentration has been for a few weeks. And Joseph settles his family, Jacob and his sons. He settles them in the land of Goshen under the command of Pharaoh. And in the previous session, we spoke about how Joseph did as Pharaoh commanded. This was the following of protocol. And we spent the session talking about how important it is to follow protocols, because protocols activate the blessings and the prosperity of God in our lives. We used many examples to explain how protocols bring these benefits into our lives. Now, during the time of Joseph, the famine is beginning to take its effect. And so Jacob and his family have been settled in Goshen. And in Genesis 47 verse 12, the Bible will tell you that Joseph provided for Jacob and his family, provided for his brothers. And so during the time of the famine, they were receiving grain, they were receiving bread, they were being sustained. And the famine begins to take its effect in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan. So in Genesis 47, verse number 13, the Bible will tell you there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan began to languish because of the famine. So firstly, we need to see a contrast of two locations. The first is that Jacob and his family are settled in Goshen, and the rest of Egypt is now feeling the effects of the famine. Now, while Jacob and his family are living in the same climatic conditions as the Egyptians and the Canaanites, they are being taken care of. They are receiving resource. They are receiving, their possessions are growing. They are multiplying and increasing because they are in Goshen. So Goshen is definitely a spiritual position that must be occupied by the church in order to go through the same climatic conditions as the earth, yet produce a different result. We see the effects of the famine taking place in the lives of the Egyptians and the Canaanites. And I want to examine that this morning, because these are very similar climatic conditions that we face during a pandemic that we are going through right now, but how we should also see the same results that Jacob and his family experienced simply because they stayed near to Joseph, or they drew near to God, or they were one with God. And by staying near to Joseph, who was the governor of Egypt, they simply stayed near to the one who is full of grace and truth, as Jesus is full of grace and truth. They stayed near to the one who could give them bread. They stayed near to the one who would be regarded as a storehouse. In our context, it is the one who dispenses grace, who dispenses the word, who brings the substance of the word to us. That person would be regarded as a pastor or a shepherd, or one that is a carrier of grace. As Ephesians chapter 4 says, that God has given gifts to men. And these gifts come in the form of the fivefold that are gifts to the body that bring grace. Paul said to the Philippian church in the book of Philippians chapter 1, "You are partakers of God's grace in me." This is why he said, "My God shall supply all your needs." That means the way I know God, the way I interact with God, the way God speaks to me, this is the God that will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. So in Genesis 47 verse 13, we get an inclination into the effects of the famine that is taking place in Egypt. And we see that the Canaanites and the Egyptians are beginning to face very drastic conditions. And so they began to use their money to start buying grain because they had no grain or they had no bread, and therefore they started to use their money. So in Genesis 47 verse 14 to 15, excuse me, Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed." So the Egyptians had bought grain with all of their money, and now the money has run out, and therefore their money has failed. In times of famine, times of crisis, money will run out or it will come to an end. And this is the monetary system of buying and selling, a system which we all live by, a system which our lives are controlled by, that we live in a system of buying and selling. It's a trading system, but it will fail, as we've seen that many economies all over the world are taking a very huge knock because of the current pandemic crisis. Money is regarded in economic terms or counting terms as our current assets. And the monetary system of the kingdom of the world, of the kingdom of God, is different from the systems of this world, because the monetary system of the kingdom of God is the sower and the seed. It is not the buyer and the seller. So for us that are sons of the kingdom, how do we see money? How do we view money in our hands? How do we see what money is when we receive it? For us, money is seed, and it is not buying power. It is sowing power. Money in our hand gives us a sowing power, and this is because God gives seed to the sower. Now in Isaiah 55 verse 10 to 11, God uses a natural principle to explain an eternal principle. And in the natural principle of Isaiah 55 verse 10, the Bible says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So the rain that comes from the heaven and the snow that falls from the heaven waters the earth, causing the ground to be fertile. So whatever seed is sown into the ground will give seed to the sower, and it will give bread to the eater. So there's two things that it will produce: that when the ground is fertile, receiving the rain that comes from heaven, it causes the seed in the ground to flourish and grow, so that the ground will yield seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it gives you two things: one that can be sown and one that can be eaten. Now, verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." Now, here's the eternal principle. God compares the word as rain that goes out from his mouth, that it will not return void. So when the rain falls and causes the seed to prosper, makes it grow, causes it to flourish, so that the seed can be given to the sower and bread to the eater, the word is in the same context. And we know that the seed is also the word of God. Matthew chapter 13 talks about the different kinds of ground that the seed falls on. The seed falls on the stony ground, the wayside ground. It falls on the good ground. It falls on the ground that is filled with thorns. So these different types of ground is where the seed falls, but the ground that has understanding, or the good ground, is where the seed begins to bear fruit, and the seed is the word of God. But the word of God is also like rain. It's like doctrine. This is what Deuteronomy 32 verse 1 will tell you, that the word of God, let my doctrine, let my teaching fall like rain. So when the word of God falls on our hearts, it changes the way we view our monetary systems in this world. Basically, the way we manage money, acquire money, distribute money, steward money, is determined by principles of the word of God. And therefore, we see money not just as buying and selling power, but money is seen through the principle of seed and the sower. So in 2 Corinthians 10:9, verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. So God supplies seed to the sower. And although we see seed in the context of money, a current asset, we must be able to see it as something that must be sown. So money in the hand of the Son of God is not just buying power, it is sowing power, because God gives seed to the sower. That seed to the sower also gives us bread for food. So remember, it's seed first, then bread. The way we sow, or the quantity and the quality of the seed we sow, determines the quantity and the quality of the bread we will eat. It's seed first and then bread for the eater. So you need to understand, as you're listening to me today, that if you want to get through a famine, if you want to see yourself through a crisis, if you want to see yourself come out of debt, if you want to see yourself break the curse, you have to begin to receive a perspective of money in your hand as seed. And when you begin to see it as seed, it gives you sowing power. And God gives seed to the sower. So if you are a sower, you will have money, because God knows that the money that you have, you see it as seed to the sower, and you will always have bread to eat. So God supplies seed and then bread for food. The quantity and the quality of the food is dependent on the quantity and the quality of the seed that we sow. Money as seed will not run out. The Egyptians were using their money to buy bread. It was buying power, but it was not seed power. It was not sowing power. So we need to see how money will increase in our hands when we receive the perspective that it is seed. The second thing is, we see in Genesis 47 verse 16 and 17 that when the money failed, then Joseph said, give your livestock and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. And they fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. The severity of the famine was so great that now the Egyptians had to trade their livestock for bread. Now remember, Jacob and his family is living in Goshen, facing the same climatic conditions, but not being affected monetarily and even in their livestock. Now when you look at this livestock of horses, of cattle, of sheep that was brought to Joseph so that the Egyptians could receive grain or receive bread, in our context, these are movable assets. And they were being traded in the time of famine so that one could receive provision and survive. Now, many, even during this current economic crisis, will go into debt to save their movable assets. Some of us have deferred our payments for 3 months because it is an option that has been offered to us. But it is debt that will be accumulated at a later stage, which will have to be paid. And we do that because we want to save our movable assets. Now, when we look at movable assets, you're looking at cars, you're looking at equipment, you're looking at computers, you're looking at jewelry, etc. All of this forms part of movable assets that can be easily traded during the time of famine. And so people would look to offload some of their movable assets to acquire some money so that they could survive difficult periods. Now, for us in the kingdom of God, movable assets must be assigned to divine purpose. When movable assets are assigned to divine purpose, they do not get affected by the climatic conditions that Egyptians live under. For us in the kingdom, we understand that our movable assets serve a kingdom purpose. Now, I want to use a few examples in the scriptures just to explain this to you. You see, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, the Bible will tell you that he rode on the donkey and a colt. These were movable assets. But this donkey and a colt had a divine purpose. They were bringing the King of Kings into the city of Jerusalem. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, we know that everyone began to sing Hosanna to the King as he came in. But he came upon the donkey and the colt, which were assets. And in Matthew 21, verse 2 to 3, Jesus was saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now what you can see is these movable assets, this livestock, this donkey and colt. And yes, there is a prophetic perspective of that, but I'm just giving you the historical and the literal context as well as a current context for us. That when you see this donkey and colt, you're seeing it as movable assets fulfilling a divine assignment. The divine assignment is that they are carrying the King of Kings. Basically, they're bringing the one who is the epitome of the kingdom of God. It is an expression of the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom, the actualization, the realization of the kingdom that's beginning to take place, because movable assets are being used to bring in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our movable assets, cars, jewelry, etc., equipment, must be used to fulfill divine assignment. You see, even when the disciples were called by Jesus to follow him, they left all their movable assets to follow him. They left their nets, they left their boats. And this is found in the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. And Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And later on you will find that they left their boats and they followed him. So they were leaving their movable assets to go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that these same movable assets in the form of boats were used to transport Jesus to different places, even as he preached the gospel of the kingdom. So these boats were fulfilling a divine assignment in seeing the gospel of the kingdom being preached, in seeing the advancement of the purposes of God, even as Jesus moved through different regions preaching the gospel. You see, your movable assets must have divine assignment. You cannot buy movable assets just to impress people, just to allow people for the purposes of admiration. We as sons of God must know that all our possessions, be it money, be it our movable assets or current assets and movable assets, they must have a divine assignment. This is called the principle of representation, that everything, every resource that God gives us is so that we can represent his kingdom. We can manifest his kingdom. We can express his kingdom. So if you see your movable assets with that light in your eye, you will know that God will preserve your movable assets even during a time of famine. The Bible will tell you in the book of Genesis 47 that Jacob and his family were acquiring more possessions. They were becoming exceedingly great and more fruitful while they were in the land of Goshen. You see, your assets, my friend, is going to be protected because you stay near grace, because you stay near the Lord, because you draw near God. The fulfillment of the divine assignment for your asset, your movable asset, is is determined by how we draw near to the Lord. As Goshen is the place of drawing near, don't let your movable assets be sold because you want to pay debt, and don't let your movable assets be offloaded simply because you need provision. If it has divine assignment, if your movable assets is being used to advance the purposes of kingdom, to finance the purposes of the kingdom, to be used to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to you that you will not lose your movable assets during a time of crisis. The woman with the alabaster jar, which was worth 300 denarii, and this alabaster jar, which was 1 year's wages, would be regarded as a movable asset. Its value was great. It was 1 year's of wages. But she brought it, and she took this alabaster jar, very costly oil that was fragrant oil that was within this flask, and she poured it on the head of Jesus as he sat at the table. Now the disciples, when they saw that, they were indignant. In fact, Judas said, why this waste? Because this could be used, sold and given to the poor. They could not understand how this movable asset, this valuable asset, was being used to fragrance the body of Christ. It was being used to prepare the body of Christ, as Jesus would say, for burial. Jesus would say, but when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil, this movable asset, this asset of great value, on my body, she did it for my burial. You see, when we serve the body of Christ with our movable assets, we are serving an eternal purpose. When we use that which is valuable for us and pour it on the head of Jesus, that it flows like oil, it becomes such an anointing, a fragrant anointing that fills the house of God, because we are using it sacrificially, because we are giving it sacrificially. It becomes an aroma to the Lord. It becomes something that prepares his body for something greater. So I encourage you this morning, dear family of God, that your movable assets must find its eternal purpose, must serve the purposes of God. The cars that you have, the jewelry that you have, the gold that you have, the silver that you have, whatever is of value to you, sacrificially let it serve its purpose for the kingdom of God, and you will see how God will cause your possessions to increase simply because you are staying near to him. So, because there is divine purpose connected to our movable assets, this is called honoring the Lord with our possessions. As Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. You can use your movable assets, your possessions, to honor the Lord. Now, in the book of Ezra chapter 1 verse 5 to 6, during the time of the rebuilding of the house of God, rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, and rebuilding of God's house during the time of Cyrus and Artaxerxes, King Darius, etc., we find that when Ezra was coming back to Jerusalem to do the rebuilding, that in Ezra chapter 1 verse 5 to 6, the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites and all whose spirits God had moved arose and go to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And verse 6 tells you, all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, movable assets, with goods, livestock, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Now, what did they do? They were giving their movable assets for the building of the house of God. You see, David had in his heart to build God a house. And because he had in his heart to build God a house, God said to him in the book of 2 Samuel 7 verse 11, God said to him that I will make you a house. When we have a heart to see the kingdom of God expand, to see the building of the kingdom of God, to see God's house being built, to see an extension and an expression of the kingdom of God, God will build us a house. It is God who will intervene when we use our movable assets to fulfill kingdom assignment. Understand that the Egyptians were selling their livestock just to receive grain. Jacob and his family just stayed near to Joseph. They stayed near grace. Their possessions were increasing. Use your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Use your assets, your current assets, your movable assets. Use it to fulfill divine assignment. In Genesis 47, verse 18 to 20, remember now that the Egyptians had given up their money, they had given up their livestock, and now all they had was their land. And so when that year had ended, they came to Joseph again in Genesis 47, verse 18. They came to him the next year and they said to him, "We will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has all our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, that we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate." Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe. So the land became Pharaoh's. Finally now, the Egyptians sold their land because of the severity of the famine. They now sold their fixed assets. Current assets, movable assets, fixed assets, all sold just to get bread to live. Just to get bread to live. The land is an inheritance, which is something that is passed from generation to generation. The land is a fixed asset which gives a person dignity, a piece of ground that they can call their own, where they can build their homes, plant their crops, earn a living, and have some form of inheritance that will be passed from generation to generation. Land was a covenantal promise to Abraham. This is in Genesis 15, verse 7. Then he said to them, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give you land, this land, to inherit it." Abraham not only was made this promise of inheriting land, he bought land. We see this in Genesis 23, verse 14 to 16, that he wanted to buy a burial site. It was called Machpelah. And eventually he bought this land, and Ephron answered Abraham and said to him, "My Lord, listen to me, the land is worth 400 shekels of silver." And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he named in the hearing of his sons, 400 shekels of silver, the currency of merchants. So Abraham bought the land for 400 shekels of silver. Jacob bought land in the Shechem, and this land became an inheritance for Joseph many, many years later, when he pitched his tent there and he bought the land and he erected an altar on that land. We see Jeremiah, while in captivity, he bought the land of his nephew when he saw the son of his uncle, and he weighed out money to him, 17 shekels of silver, in Jeremiah 32, verse 9 to 11. He signed the deed and sealed it and weighed out the money on the scales, and so Bible says, "I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and the custom, and that which was open." Jeremiah was buying land in the time of captivity. So we can see that land was bought in difficult periods. Jacob was buying land while he was going away from Laban's house, and eventually bought the land of Shechem. You need to understand that land is an important part of our inheritance. Land is a fixed asset. And here we're seeing Egyptians selling their land because in the time of famine they were so desperate that they needed bread, they needed to eat. Now, in crisis, oppressive systems will make you go into greater debt. And here we see that all the land all the livestock, all the money comes into the hand of Pharaoh. This is a system of this world that takes ownership of everything. It takes possession and it begins to control your existence just so that you can eat. But in the kingdom of God, just like Jacob and his family, when we draw near to God, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. While we face, the same conditions, we must understand that God has made a promise to us, even as he's made a promise to Abraham, the covenantal promise, and we are heirs of that promise. Even during this time, you must believe that God is going to make it possible for you to buy a house, to buy a land. Because in the midst of crisis, there are many people that are now willing to sell their land just to have bread or just to pay their debt. But as sons of God, these opportunities are presented to us in the midst of crisis. And if you have prepared adequately, you would know that as you draw near to God, these opportunities would be presented to you. And I believe that greater opportunities are going to be presented to the sons of God, faithful sons, sons that know how to stay near to grace, sons that know how to draw near to God. They are going to experience an outflow and an overflow of great grace in their lives, in the possession of land, in the occupation of land, in the buying of land. That will become an inheritance for generations to come. Now, why do we need land? We need land so that the purpose of the kingdom of God can be advanced. We need land to set up standards so that we can express how the kingdom of God can be lived on the earth. Our homes, our gardens, the land that we occupy. If you have lands where you can plant vegetables and fruit trees and have a garden, it is all the expression of the values of the kingdom of God. Land must also serve its divine purpose. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb. It was a piece of land that he owned, and he gave it up for the burial of Jesus Christ. It was the tomb that was used to keep the body of Jesus, where there was later on we see how Jesus rose from that same tomb. That fixed asset that Joseph of Arimathea had was serving the body of Christ. It was serving the body of Christ to rise in resurrection power. So money, livestock, and land belonged to Pharaoh. Taxation was imposed. 20% of all that was harvested had to go to Pharaoh. There was a taxation that was imposed upon the Egyptians. Now you see two systems being polarized against each other. One where Jacob and his family stay near grace. They are increasing in their possessions. They are multiplying and exceeding, and there is exceeding growth. The other system is an Egyptian system, a worldly system, a system that oppresses, that taxes, that takes your land, takes your livestock, takes your money. We in the kingdom of God, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. While we live in the system of this earth, we know that the earth is governed by economic systems regarded as capitalistic, socialistic, democratic, communistic, all different kinds of economies that govern the way this world operates. But for us that are in the kingdom of God, we are of a different kind. We are of the kingdom of God, and therefore we live by principles that are entrenched in the scriptures that help us to navigate through difficult periods and not allow our current assets, our movable assets, our fixed assets to be affected by the famine. I know that in this, even in this economic crisis, because of this pandemic, many of you listening to me would be affected quite dramatically. Your jobs, your businesses, and many other things are affected. But I say to you, let faith arise in your heart as the son of the kingdom. Let faith arise in your heart as God is your father. Live by the principles that are entrenched in God's word. Be a sower, sow seed and trust the Lord. Be one that stays near grace. Let your assets take on an assignment in the kingdom of God. And as you begin to do that, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly visit his temple. The Lord who is in your midst will begin to bring breakthroughs and unusual miracles into your life. And so, Father, this morning, I pray for those that are listening to me, many that are facing economic difficulties. But we thank you for the principles entrenched in your word. And even as we have heard your word today, that money is seed, that our movable assets have a divine assignment, that our land is our inheritance, it is attached to a covenantal promise with Abraham. And even during the time of famine, I pray that many would acquire land, many would acquire houses. Supernatural things will happen in their lives. Even as they're hearing my voice today, and as they believe, I know, Lord, as faith rises in their hearts, they will begin to see the promises of God being fulfilled in their lives. Let all doubt, let all fear, Lord, be removed from their hearts. I pray in the Spirit today, Lord, that a fresh surge will take place inside of them. A fresh anointing will come upon their lives to believe that God has not forsaken them, that we are in Goshen. We are drawing near to our God. Our possessions will increase. Our land will increase. We will have exceeding growth and great prosperity because our Joseph is providing for us. Our Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, brings addition and increase into our lives. I bless every family, every home, every business, everyone that is employed. I declare that their jobs would be safe and, Lord, that nothing will be lost. May the hand of the Lord be upon them for good. Even as they stay near grace, I know, Lord, your blessings will abound over their lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you for joining us this morning. Such a privilege to speak to you again. May the grace of the Lord be sufficient for you to keep you even during this time. Please join us every evening at 6 p.m. as we are praying together, partaking of the table of the Lord together, praying for our country and praying for the nations. And we pray that God's strength would be made perfect in your weakness. May the Lord bless and keep you. Amen.